Let us pray in silence to prepare hearts for the family altar. Amen. In Jesus' name, let us commence with our family altar. Let us sing hymn 136. Sing hymn 136.
But I know who my Savior is, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know not how this Savior fit to me, He did impart, nor how believing what peace may fill my heart. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know not how the Spirit moves and which man of sin, revealing Jesus to the world, creating faith in Him. But I know whom I have believed, but I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know not when my blood may come, nor will be found, nor if I wander here with Him, or meet Him in the air. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day.
For our family altar tonight, let us read Psalms 44. Psalms 44. A psalm of the sons of Korah. In Jesus' name I read Psalms 44, verse 1. We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us, what did thou didst perform in their days, as in the days of old. 2. Thou with thy own hand didst drive out the nations, but them thou didst plant. Thou didst afflict the people, but them thou spread them abroad. 3. For not by their own sword did they win the land, nor did their own arm give them victory. But thy right hand and thy arm and the light of thy countenance, for thou didst delight in them. 4. Thou art my King and my God, thou ordain victory for Jacob. 5. Through thee we push down our foes, through thy name we thread down our assailants. 6. For not in my bow do I trust, nor can my sword save me. 7. But thou hast saved us from our foes, and hast put to confusion those who hate us. 8. In God we have boasted continually, and we will give thanks to thy name forever. Selah. 9. Yet thou hast cast us off and abased us, and hast gone out with our armies. Have not gone out with our armies. 10. Thou hast made us turn back from the foe, and our enemies have gotten spoil. 11. Thou hast made us like sheep for slaughter and hast scattered us among nations. 12. Thou hast sold thy people for a trifle, demanding no high price for them. 13. Thou hast made us the taunt of our neighbors, and derision and scorn for those about us. 14. Thou hast made us a byword among the nations, a laughing stock among the peoples. 15. All day long my disgrace is before me, and shame has covered my face. 16. At the words of the taunters and revilers, at the sight of the enemy and the avenger. 17. All this has come upon us, though we have not forgotten thee, or have been false to thy covenant. 18. Our heart has not turned back, nor have our steps departed from thy way. 19. That thou shouldst have broken us in the place of jackals, and covered us with deep darkness, or covered us with the shadow of death. 20. If we have forgotten the name of our God, or spread forth our hands to a strange God. 21. Would not God discover this? For thou know the secrets of the heart. 22. Yet for thy sake we are slain all day long, and accounted as sheep for the slaughter. 23. Rouse thyself, why sleepest thou, O Lord? Awake, do not cast us off forever. 24. Why dost thou hide thy face? Why dost thou forget the affliction and oppression? 25. For our soul is bowed down to the dust, our body cleaves to the ground. 26. Rise up, come to our help. Deliver us for the sake of thy steadfast love. This is Psalm 44. It is quite a beautiful psalm. In the superscription, or the topic given above, to the choir master, a maskil of the sons of Korah. A maskil, it is a contemplative poem. It is a call for us to think thoroughly. It relates to prolonged thought. Thus, it is called a contemplative poem. And maskil tells us about a psalm of instruction, making one wise and skillful. Here says a maskil of the sons of Korah, and it will be sung during the worship. Psalm 44, we can divide it into three parts. The first part, from verses 1 to 8. Verses 1 to 8, it tells us about the acknowledgement of God's past mercies. Second part, verses 9 to 16. It is a statement of present condition about the calamities that they are in. The third part, verses 17 to 26. It is an appeal to God for deliverance. We will run through this first part. The first part, from verses 1 to 8, tells us about the acknowledgement of God's past mercies. In verse 1, we have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us. This is good. This is how the Israelites, they were able to maintain their faith, their belief in the Lord and the worship of the Lord. It is brought down from one generation to the other. The author says, we have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us. It is the impartation of faith from one generation to the other. telling them, "What didst thou didst perform in their days, in the days of old?" In their life of faith, they've gone through. And in this part, it tells us about the Exodus and specifically the conquest of the land of Canaan. There are three matters here from verses 2 and 3. Verse 2, "Thou with thy own hand didst drive out the nations." This is towards the Canaanites. The Lord drove them out. But what about God's people, the Israelites? "But them thou didst plant." The Lord planted them. We quickly read Psalms 80 verse 8. "Thou didst bring a wine out of Egypt. Thou didst drive out the nations and plant it." We turn back, Psalms 44, verse 2, the second line. Verse 2, "Thou didst afflict the peoples, but them thou spread them abroad." Means over the land. When they went into the land of Canaan, they drew them out. And the Lord did afflict the people, but towards the Israelite, the Lord spread them abroad. The Lord cast them, means abroad, they expanded, they took over the land. Verse 3, "For not by their own sword did they win the land, nor did their own arm give them victory, but it was what? But thy right hand, the strong hand, the powerful hand, and thy arm, and the light of thy countenance, the Lord look upon them, the Lord showed forth favor towards them. Thus, the Lord was their banner, Yahweh Nissi. The Lord will fight for them, the Lord who is strong. The Lord took favor upon them." That's why the last statement, verse 3, says, "Thou didst delight in them." They were pleasing to the Lord. That's why the Lord gave them the promised land. This was a very great testimony given by their forefathers. And the new generation, generations from generation, they will not forget this incident. From verse 4 to 8, now the author says, "Thou art my king and my God, who ordained victories for Jacob. Though or through thee we push down our foes, through thy name we tread down our assailant." Now it was personal, it was their generation. They also took the Lord God as their king. The king who will give them the victory. It is not to their own might. That is why verse 6, "For not in my bow do I trust, nor can my sword save me." Verse 7, "But thou hast saved us from our foes, and hast put confusion those who hate us." Now in their generation, they too, they had this faith in the Lord. They will know that the Lord will continue to give them victory. Thus in verse 8, "In God we have boasted continually." Here it's stressed continually. "And we will give thanks to thy name forever." This is an important verse. Now it was in their time that they will boast of the Lord. They will have faith in the Lord. They will depend in the Lord. And they will give thanks to the name of the Lord forever. Now we continue with the second part. Second part, we can see there is a tremendous change now from their experience, from what their forefathers told them about God's past mercies, God's great act. And they, the newer generation, they put faith and belief in the Lord. But yet now, we see a change in the situation. From verses 9 to 16, as we have mentioned, the statement of their present condition, the calamities that they were in. And God has allowed all this to happen to them. Verse 9, yet thou hast cast us off and abased us, and hast not gone out with our armies. Thou hast made us turn back from the foe, and our enemies have gotten spoil. Thou hast made us like sheep for slaughter, and hast scattered us among nations. Thou hast sold thy people for a trifle, demanding no high price for them. Thou hast made us taunt of our neighbors, a derision and scorn from of those about us. Thou hast made us byword among the nations, a laughing stock among the peoples. Six times, thou hast. This is very discouraging. All the while, through the testimony of their forefathers, and they themselves, they acknowledged that the Lord was their king, their God, who will deliver them from the enemies. But yet now, they have come to this situation, full of calamities. Definitely, it seems, if it refers to us, there will be a lot of questions. Why? Why this happened? Verse 15, all day long my disgrace is before me, and shame has covered my face. 16, at the word of the taunters and revilers, at the sight of the enemy and avenger. So it was a shame. It was not something to glorify about. Contextually, we are not very sure what part of the history. Some say that it may be related to the Babylonian captivity. But if we continue to read, it don't seem likely. Some say it may be at the time of King Josiah or Josiah, but it is not very clear. Alright, so no matter how, we are not very sure of the historical background, but at the time, they were at this position, full of calamities. And the author here says, God has allowed all this to happen, the six times thou hast. Now we continue the third part. This third part is a very important part. It is an appeal to God for deliverance. An appeal to God for deliverance. Verse 17, all this has come upon us, though we have not forgotten thee, or have been forced to thy covenant. 16, our heart has not turned back, nor have our steps departed from thy way. After self-examining, the author says, it was not that they were unfruitful, or that they did not follow the laws and the commandments of the Lord. They were faithful. They were not forced towards the Lord. Yet verse 19, Thou shouldst have broken us in the place of Jacob. To what extent? To the extent that they became desolate, a ruin, a wasteland, a place for the jackal. If you want, we need not read. You can refer to Jeremiah chapter 9 verse 11 about the land will be ruined and the jackals will be there. It signifies that the place will be a place of desolate, a waste land. Verse 19, to what extent at the time they were in that thou shouldst have broken us in the place of jackals means become desolate and covered us with the shadow of death. This was the situation that they were in. Verse 20, if we have forgotten thy name, O our God, or spread forth our hands to a strange God, would not God discover this? Definitely God knows. And at the time, they did not commit apostasy. If really they did commit apostasy, the Lord will know. Verse 21 says, for he knows the secret of heart. The Lord knows. So this part tells us, the author, after self-examining, they knew that they were still faithful to the Lord. They kept to the laws, the commandments, the teachings of the Lord. They continue to worship Him. They did not commit apostasy. But why? Why they were in this place? Now, here tells us, it is the petition to God by the good men, by those who are good, who suffer together with others in the common affliction that God brings to His people. They were good, but yet at the time they were put in this situation. Thus, in the end, on their part, what must they do? Verse 22. Yet, for thy sake we are slain all day long and accounted as sheep for the slaughter. We must hold fast to this. Even though in our life of faith, we are faithful to the Lord, we are keeping His teachings and commandments, but yet all not favorable condition comes to us, like the calamities, like what they experienced from verses 9 to 16. But yet at the time, the author hold firm. There are two things as our teaching. Verse 22 is the first teaching. We must take it as our part, even though we have to go through this situation where we are the good men, the good people, that yet we suffer together with others, those who are in the affliction that God brings upon them because maybe of their unfaithfulness. But yet, even though we are in it, what must we do? We must take it as our lot. For the sake of the Lord, we must accept the situation, the condition that we are in, without wavering, without having any doubt in the Lord. Verse 22, yet for thy sake we are slain all day long and accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Paul understands this very well. In Acts 9 verse 16, in Acts chapter 9 verse 16, Paul was told that how much he must suffer for the name of the Lord. Paul knew that this will happen to him. But yet, as he continued in his life of faith, Paul hold on to this understanding. Paul quoted from this verse. Let's turn to Romans 8. Romans 8:35-39. Romans 8:35-39. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or perils or sword? 36. As it is written, for thy sake we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Paul quoted Psalms 44. 37. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depths, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul was very firm. Paul went through all these sufferings, but yet Paul hold on, as in verse 36, for thy sake, remember, for the sake of the Lord, we are not in the wrong. It is not that we are not faithful to the Lord. Not to say that we are unfaithful. We are faithful. We keep His teachings and commandments. We are good believers. But yet, when we go through all this, we must hold on to verse 36. For thy sake, we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 11, the upper portion. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 11, the upper portion. Verse 11, for while we live, we are always being given to death for Jesus' sake. For Jesus' sake. Verse 16, In this situation, how? 16. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. Paul hold on to this. Similarly, we pray to the Lord that He will guide us in the midst of our calamities, our sufferings. We must hold on. We must, for the sake of the Lord, hold on. Let's turn back, Psalm 44. From verse 23 to 26, the author now prayed to the Lord. Now it is on the part of the Lord. He asked God, "Rouse yourself. Why sleepest thou, O Lord? Awake, do not cast us off forever. Why dost thou hide thy face? Why dost thou forget our affliction and oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust, for our body cleaves to the ground." He says, "Rise up, come to our help, deliver us for the sake of thy love." It is a solemn and earnest appeal to God. In our prayer, on our part, we must accept our Lord. We must, for the sake of the Lord, willingly suffer for Him. But also, let us continue to pray that the Lord will open the way for us. The Lord will hearken to our appeal. In verse 26, the last statement, "Deliver us for the sake of thy love." Verse 22, "For the sake of the Lord, we hold on to what we are going to." We hold on to the Lord. We never doubt Him. But on the part of the Lord, let us pray, "Lord, deliver us for the sake of thy love." And the second requirement on our part, verse 8, "In God we have boasted continually. We will give thanks to thy name forever." In this first part, it was a favorable position. All the while, they hold on that God will help them. God is their king. God gives them victory. So in this situation, even in calamity, it is not because of our unfaithfulness, yet we are in this calamity. What must we do? Secondly, we still continually boast of the Lord. We still continue to give thanks to the name of the Lord. Alright, so these are two things that we must do. For the sake of the Lord, we must take it as suffering apart. Even here says, to be slain all day long for the Lord. And secondly, we must continually praise Him, thank Him, boast about the Lord Jesus or the Lord God whom we worship. May the Lord help us. Now we will pray. Hallelujah. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Let's recite the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank the Lord. We end our family altar here. The Lord bless.